This recording is brought to you by Whitworth University. To hear additional programs, please visit www.whitworth.edu/podcast.
It's now my privilege to introduce Whitworth's 18th president, Dr. Beck Taylor. Many of you know Beck Taylor far longer than I have. He is beginning his fourth year as president of Whitworth University. I won't repeat here all that you can learn about Beck from Whitworth's website, but I will summarize by saying this. President Taylor came to Whitworth already having ably served two distinguished church-related universities. He had been a highly successful dean of Samford University's Brock School of Business, and before that, an award-winning professor at his undergraduate alma mater, Baylor University. I will also note that Beck Taylor's scholarship as an economist is a wonderful example of the mind serving the heart. Beck's compassion for economically disadvantaged children has fueled a considerable portion of his research agenda. Many of the more than two dozen studies that he has published in scholarly journals evaluate the effectiveness of various intervention strategies in helping children overcome the effects of poverty. Beck Taylor's vision for Whitworth University is embodied in the Whitworth 2021 strategic plan, which seeks to elevate Whitworth's standing as one of the finest Christian liberal arts universities in the country. He's a popular speaker and commentator, publishing opinion pieces and frequently appearing on television and radio. In the brief time that I've known Beck Taylor, I've been able to personally observe his love for Whitworth University. I've seen him play hard and have fun, and I've seen him bring faculty and staff together to debate the merits of a book. I've seen him be as comfortable in prayer as he is in examining a balance sheet. I've seen ample evidence of Beck's sharp mind, moral courage, and compassion. I've come to know him as someone who lives out the grand paradox that Christian conviction and intellectual curiosity are complementary rather than competing values. Since coming to Whitworth, Beck, his wife Julie, and their three children, Zach, Lauren, and Chloe, have woven themselves into the fabric of Whitworth. As we convene our 124th year together, please join me in welcoming Whitworth's 18th president, Dr. Beck Taylor.
Good morning, Whitworth, and thank you, Dr. Simon, for that generous introduction. I think many of you know that Dr. Carol Simon is the newest member of the president's cabinet at Whitworth, serving as Whitworth's new provost and executive vice president. Would you all please join me in giving Carol Simon a warm welcome? The sights and the sounds of today's events remind us of some very important and special things to the Whitworth community. First, of course, many of our students are here. We are reminded by their participation here today of Whitworth's core mission, the mind and heart education of the next generation of the world's citizens. I want to add a special welcome to our newest students. So if you're a new transfer student, a new continuing studies student, or a new graduate student of Whitworth, would you please rise and let us welcome you? Next, I would ask the proud Whitworth class of 2017 to please rise and let us welcome you. New students, we are so pleased that you have joined us, that you are part of the Whitworth family. You are indeed Whitworthians for life. And finally, if you are a returning student, would you please and let us welcome you back home. I also want to extend a warm and grateful greeting to our staff and faculty who are so colorfully displayed here in the front. You all are looking very good, I might say. Students, would you please join me in thanking your staff and faculty for all they do here at Whitworth? And many of the university's external constituencies are also represented here this morning. We have alumni and friends and donors, auxiliary members, Crimson Club boosters, pastors, community members, parents, public servants. These are all people who give life to this university through their steadfast prayers, their significant leadership, their volunteer service, and generous financial giving. Thank you for being here. Our university's Board of Trustees provides wise leadership and ultimately safeguards Whitworth's distinctive mission by generously offering their time, wisdom, and financial resources. This morning, Trustees Debbie Cazzetto, Ken Roberts, Stu Stiles, and John Sowers were gracious enough to lead us in and to represent their fellow trustees. Would you all please stand and let us recognize you on behalf of the entire board. Thank you. And lastly, I would like to offer a warm welcome to President Emeritus Bill Robinson and his wife Bonnie. It's always wonderful to have you here. Let's welcome these. Well, back in the summer of 2004, my family and I, it was just Julie and me and our two oldest children, Zach and Lauren. Chloe was not yet born. We planned a trip to Disney World in Orlando, Florida. We were living in Waco, Texas at the time, and Zach and Lauren were the perfect ages, 8 and 6, for a wonderful trip to Disney. Now, it's my observation that families generally fall into two camps when it comes to planning and enjoying vacations. There are those families that have general plans that usually include the bare minimum number of details, like when the vacation begins and ends, generally speaking, of course, approximately where the hotel is located. General vicinity is good enough, and names are not important at this stage. And a short list that is usually printed on some discarded piece of paper or bubblegum wrapper of things to do once you get there. You know who you are. I hear you giggling. Inexplicably, though, these are the families that, despite not having more details worked out, always seem to run into famous celebrities, stumble upon the best restaurants, and generally post the best pictures to Facebook. Am I right? I don't know how this works. Because the Taylors most decidedly do not fall into that camp when it comes to planning vacations. Nope, our vacations usually begin with a list of decisions to make before deciding to go on vacation. And once decided, that list miraculously morphs into many more lists that meticulously detail every aspect of our expedition. Copious notes are taken before, during, and after the vacation so that proper pre- and post-trip assessment and feedback loops can take place. To better inform key performance indicators we might be tracking to measure our family's overall experience, and to, of course, inform any future trips that we might make to the same destination. Some of you are now thinking to yourselves that this guy spawned Whitworth 2021 is starting to make a lot more sense to me now. Anyway, now that that self-disclosure is done, it won't surprise you that when we were planning our trip to Disney a decade ago, I immediately began to search out tools and resources that would help us to optimize our time in the Magic Kingdom. Perhaps I could find some little secret or little known tidbit of insider information that would enable the Taylors to more effortlessly navigate the seemingly unending and overwhelming opportunities for enjoyment, not to mention avoid the horrible pitfalls of embarrassment of poor planning. I mean, how could we live with ourselves if we discovered only later that we could have squeezed one more ride on Space Mountain into the trip? Our family's reputation was at stake. But that's when God in his mercy allowed me to stumble upon the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, 2004 edition. In these well-worn and dog-eared pages, friends, is the wisdom of sages that will instruct and guide those who accept the challenge to go higher and to last longer and to outdo even Walter Elias Disney. For $17.99, this little piece of heaven offers, and I'm quoting, exclusively patented and field-tested touring plans that save as much as 4 hours of standing in line in one day. It promises that within every attraction is ranked and rated on a variety of metrics for each age group, and secrets for maximum enjoyment are disclosed within. Of course, I conveniently ignored the label that's actually right here on the front that claims that more than 4 million copies have been sold, perhaps casting some doubt on whether they are truly secrets or not. But never mind that inconvenient piece of information, because I knew, well, I knew the tailors were just going to read it better. The tagline on the front of the book says it all. It says, for travelers who want more than the official line, find inside what isn't inside or written anywhere in official guidebooks. Well, when I arrived at Whitworth 3 years ago as your new president, I was looking for that kind of book. Whitworth did then and continues to publish a variety of printed and online resources that describe the university very well, in my opinion. Its mission and history, its goals and objectives, its uniqueness in the landscape of Christian higher education. Concurrent with my arrival to campus, Dale Soden had just published his latest comprehensive edition of Whitworth's history. I read it cover to cover several times, hoping to glean new insights and interesting trivia that would help a new president navigate the enormous task of getting to know a new community, while at the same time that community was expecting me, as its new president, to tell it what we at Whitworth were all about. Well, our new colleague and provost, Carol Simon, is likely going through many of the same feelings right now. And I'm sure that at some point during the kooky opening skit last Saturday night, she was wondering to herself exactly what kind of educational institution this was indeed. Many of you, staff and faculty seated in front of me, are living this right now as well. There was something that caught your eye about this place. And after being here a bit, you too are beginning to search out the things that are important to us here, but might not be written down anywhere. Indeed, we know that every place and every institution has its own set of unwritten rules, cultural idiosyncrasies, and deeply held values that aren't published on any official website. These things must be discovered in some other way. And perhaps more than anyone else in the room today, you new students who have joined us literally just in the last 5 days are wondering how to successfully navigate life on this campus, a campus that is filled with exciting opportunities and even some daunting challenges, with rich traditions and high expectations, only a few of which you now know, and only some of which are written down. Indeed, an unofficial guide to Whitworth would be a helpful tool and resource right about now. As I thought about my theme for today's address, I began to think about what things I would include in the official, unofficial guide to Whitworth. I started by thinking that I would want to include aspects of the Whitworth experience that would be encouraging to you, or that could be uplifting in times of doubt or distress. I would want to include tidbits or helpful hints of how to translate phrases like mind and heart or reformed but ecumenical. What do these words and phrases really mean to us here at Whitworth? I might even get real and point out aspects of our community and life together that don't always live up to the billing.
I would want to challenge us to be a better place. I would also want answers to some very important questions, like, has Ring by Spring really been replaced by being hit in the head by a Frisbee? And does it have to be your head or just some body part? These are the things that would be very helpful to know, but you won't find any of the answers to your questions in printed brochures or on the internet.
Well, I didn't have time to write the official, unofficial guide, so I don't have a long list for you this morning of included items.
I'm not even sure I would be the best person to write it. I might be a little close, too close to the institutional branding. Perhaps some of you will begin to develop your own lists after today. But I do want to share with you a few important ideas that I hope will be included or would be included in the final version of any unofficial guide, because these are important ones, in my opinion, and ones I'd like for you to reflect on as a community as we begin Whitworth's 124th year. For example, on page 256 of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, the author encourages the reader to know the quote-unquote secret code for the Buzz Lightyear attraction, a numerical code that can be found written obscurely on the walls of the ride's entrance, if you're observant. By entering the hidden code into the ride's keypad, informed visitors can see secret messages that will help them navigate the ride's plot and better understand the strange new world that they are entering. Well, Whitworth loves secret codes as well. We talk in code language all the time, often assuming that everyone else around us knows the language we're speaking. We toss around words like community, the little three, and ecumenism, but we don't always take the time or make the effort to explain what they really mean to our community. One code phrase that I've learned is as important as any on this campus is one that was coined by our previous president, Dr. Bill Robinson. That Whitworth lives on the quote-unquote narrow ridge has become almost as synonymous with Whitworth's mission as phrases like mind and heart education. What do we mean when we describe Whitworth as being on the narrow ridge?
Well, I do think it's a useful metaphor because it paints a clear picture of Whitworth University as being situated on a narrow, precarious mountain ridge that connects two steep and perhaps dangerous slopes. Off to one slope, the dangerous slope represents the temptation that Christian universities like Whitworth have faced historically to jettison their Christ-centered missions in favor of things like greater academic reputation, or an easier time navigating an increasingly pluralistic society. Institutions like Harvard and Princeton and the University of Chicago are examples of such institutions. Off to the other side of the ridge, another slippery slope represents the temptation that many Christian universities have to abandon their commitments to open and fearless intellectual inquiry and academic freedom. In a sense, institutions that have stumbled down this side of the ridge in an effort to protect some privileged version of the truth, have jettisoned their academic missions to presumably remain more faithful. Many of us know institutions that lay at the bottom of that slippery slope. But by intentionally situating itself on the ridge that separates these two extremes, Whitworth commits itself to pursuing faith as rigorously as it pursues truth, and to pursuing truth as devotedly as it pursues faith. Holding on to its commitments to Christ and Christ's redemptive work in this world, while at the same time remaining devoted to the courageous search for truth, wherever that search leads us, is a challenging prospect, especially in a day and age when extremism and polarity run rampant, both in society and in the church. This tension is no more evident than when Whitworth, as an institution that seeks to model humility when it comes to claiming any stronghold on truth, refuses to take unnecessary institutional positions on a whole host of issues that divide faithful and thoughtful Christians. That posture tends to upset both sides of any particular debate.
And if you don't believe me, you can come and read my email for a week. But friends, the scenic views from the ridge offer amazing perspectives on the world and our place in it. I am persuaded that by remaining committed to academic excellence in every sense of the word, and to the integration of Christian faith and learning, and by continuing to provide safe harbor for conversations among thoughtful Christians who disagree with one another, Whitworth offers its students, and indeed all of us, the best opportunities to learn, to question, and to discover. And it offers a much needed model of civility to society and to the church. On another potential subject, there are several iconic rides at Disney World. One of them is It's a Small World. Yes, if you start singing the song, you will start singing it all day long. When the ride was developed for the 1964 New York World's Fair, no one then could have imagined exactly how small the world would become in 2013. The world is increasingly smaller and flatter. And technology, travel, and the internet are connecting people and cultures that only two decades ago would have lived their entire existences worlds apart. Demographic trends, increased access to education, pending immigration reform, the power of social media, and a whole host of other factors are calling all of us to think more intentionally about what it means to navigate an increasingly diverse landscape, and to do so with competence, courage, and compassion. At the heart of Whitworth 2021 is the call for all of us to cultivate the capacities to relate effectively and in the most Christ-like ways across multiple dimensions of human diversity. The university has made significant strides over the decades to be more inclusive, to recognize the importance of historical power and privilege differentials, and to think critically about what it means to love across and celebrate differences. That is what it says in the official Whitworth guidebook, and it's true. But in the unofficial guide to Whitworth, we must also admit that there is much more heavy lifting to do. Our campus continues to struggle with acts of injustice, abuse, and discrimination. Each year, sadly, the Whitworth community deals with several incidents of macroaggression and countless microaggressions aimed at underrepresented racial and ethnic populations. Our community's ability to effectively navigate differences related to gender, disability, socioeconomic status, religious differences, and human sexuality is called into question when our behaviors do not match our rhetoric. More troubling, our witness as a Christ-centered university can be called into question when we fail to love one another as Christ has already demonstrated he loves us. So Whitworth, let's commit ourselves here and now to work harder, to love deeper, and to closely examine the ways our community successfully embraces differences and the opportunities that we have to live and to learn and to love and to lead in more relational and inclusive ways. And in doing so, perhaps we'll make the ridge a little less narrow after all. Throughout my unofficial guide to Walt Disney World, the author warns the reader to expect the unexpected. The author says that the observant park visitor will experience more, the guide promises, as she keeps her eyes wide open for magical possibilities. I like that, and I think I'll keep it in my version of the unofficial guide to Whitworth. Students, staff, faculty, expect more than could ever be imagined or understood from your Whitworth experience, because the God of possibilities is present here and now. The most rewarding part of my job is watching how God is at work in our community and among its members. In a season where we invite our newest students into the Whitworth family, I'm reminded of the incredible transformation that happens in the life of an undergraduate over 4 years at Whitworth, or in the life of a graduate student, or the life of a continuing studies student. The seniors who will receive their degrees this May were freshmen when I arrived to campus 3 years ago. In many ways, these incredible students and I will experience our senior years together. But what is so evident in these young women and men is their blossoming as students and human beings. Part of God's grace to all of us is that he withholds the future from our sight. In large part because I think many of us would be overwhelmed with what the future holds, and we would probably be daunted by the kind of people that the future will require us to be. But we expect that God, in his faithfulness, will use relationships, classes, experiences within our community, moments in the hub, conversations in the residence halls, coffees with faculty members, quiet times in the chapel, experiences on the field of competition, and our efforts to live and work together for his plans and purposes, which are far greater than anything we could imagine or hope for. So staff, faculty, and students, enter this year expectantly, knowing that God is at work here, in this place, and in your lives. Expect more from your programs. Expect more from your faculty members, your classes, your students, your coworkers, and yourself, because God, in his infinite wisdom, is weaving a tapestry here whose threads are not always seen and whose patterns can at times be difficult to decipher. But have confidence that the same God who has called you to this place at this time is working in your lives and in the lives of those around you. Keep your eyes wide open for the unexpected. Finally, friends, if I have one hope, if I have one dream or wish or prayer for this community as it lives faithfully into its mission to honor God, follow Christ, and serve humanity, it is this. You might call it the unofficial mission of Whitworth University. That we would all follow the words of the prophet Micah and the instructions of Jesus that Ian read earlier. That as a community that lives courageously on the ridge, that combines curiosity and conviction, as a university that strives to love and respect people from all backgrounds and experiences, and as a place of human growth and spiritual development that is animated by the work of the Creator God, that we would urgently seek justice in this world, that we would walk in humility, knowing that God is at work in our lives and then in the lives of our community, and that by loving God with our minds and with our hearts, and by putting the needs of our neighbors above our own, that Whitworth, by God's grace, would be used in miraculous ways here in Spokane, in our community, in the state of Washington, in the United States, and indeed across this great world, a great world in need that needs you, students. So I wish Christ's blessings upon all of you for this academic year. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.